14. So if anybody would like to help with that, that's greatly appreciated. Open Hands Mission to the Blind is going to be this Thursday. Board of Evangelism is meeting tomorrow at 6 and the council at 7. Tuesday at 6 as well. And I think that will do it for our announcements. Let's begin with a time of silent prayer and then the first minute. Continue with our opening.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, at His command, in His stead, I therefore forgive your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
She considers a field and buys it from the earnings. She plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good, her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well on the ways of her household, and does not eat bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Faithful witness of King Lemuel's mother. and again, because we don't know exactly who wrote it, we don't know exactly when, but Proverbs 31 really can't be any earlier than 2,500 years ago, maybe even as much closer to 3,000 if it was Solomon. But the simple wisdom it contains is timeless and exceeds what we will often hear in our own day. So the title of today's sermon is A Woman of Excellence. This is God's calling to you, all the women of the congregation, and to you, Lola, especially today as we focus on you. What kind of woman will you be growing into? Because there's a lot of different routes you could go. But really, there's only two paths that are set before you. You can either be a woman of God, or you can be a woman of the world. You can be a woman of righteousness or unrighteousness. You can be a woman of faith and faithfulness, or a woman that goes her own way. The way forward today in the sermon, I want to look at, we're going to break it down the way that Proverbs 31 is broken down. So we'll look real quickly at those first nine verses, which is a mother's exhortation. And then we're going to look at verses 10 to the end of the chapter, and that's a poem of the excellent one. Before you look. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the myriad of gifts that you bestow upon us. All good gifts come from heaven above, and so we thank you, Lord, for the gift of our mothers. Lord, we especially thank you for the gift of Lola, a wonderful daughter to her parents, granddaughter, wonderful sibling, and a child of God. And we pray, Lord, that you will grow her and nurture her and make her into the picture of that wonderful woman of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have Proverbs 31 open, don't read it with me, but just look at verses 1 and 2. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him, "What, O my son? And what, O son of my womb, and what, O son of my vow?" So you have this literary buildup, right? And it's serious and it's solemn as far as the message goes. That's a what, right? And it's sort of like she said, "Listen, right? Listen, son of my vows." Well, we're not told what kind of vows she made. We can think of other people like Hannah who made vows to the Lord. Remember in Samuel, Hannah was not able to have a child. She prayed to the Lord. She was weeping. That was the desire of her heart. And she says, "Lord, if you give me a son, that son will be dedicated to you." And this is what happened. He became the prophet Samuel. So King Lemuel's mother is making a vow too to the Lord. We don't know all of it, but it seems like what she says here to her son, her royal son, is part of that vow, bringing her child up in the way of wisdom instead of the way of foolishness. Let's read verse 3 together. "Do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings." Now, strength to women, I think there's a better way to translate that. And here's why I say that. Because there's a parallel that we shouldn't miss. In verse 3, where it says strength, that's actually the same word in Hebrew as in verse 10, excellent. You know, an excellent wife who can find. And so for the English, it would be better if we translated those with the same word. Excellence, or strength as it's translated earlier, has the, in different contexts, it can mean power, strength, armies. It can even mean skill. It can mean noble character. So I think excellence is really a good catch word for all of that. He is to be. What did his mother expect out of this king? Because Proverbs overall is wisdom written to the prince, to the royal son, and from him then to all of us. He is to be an excellent king, to have that excellent wife. By the way, we see that same parallel in the book of Ruth. Remember when we went through Ruth? It said that Boaz was a man of excellence. Right? He's this bachelor who is, while wealthy and has that excellence as far as his wealth, is also one who is kindly towards others. And then Ruth is known as this woman of excellence, and that's shown in what she has done with her commitment to Naomi, her mother-in-law, her faithfulness, her then turning to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be her God, both a man and a woman of excellence. And now we have that parallel within Proverbs 31 as well. And so Mama says, don't give your excellence, don't give your strength and your noble character to women. That is, don't lose it. Don't give it away. Don't lose it. Because you're chasing wine and women. You go on then, and let's just jump into verse 10. And that's where we start the poem. The poem you only see really in Hebrew, but let's read verse 10 together. An excellent wife, who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. So, verse 10 and to the end is an acrostic poem, so that each verse and each half verse begins with the same letter. So you're going basically, if this were English, A to Z. And that's what the Hebrew does. More important is that one of the things that we see in Proverbs 31 then is that we have these three kinds of women. We have the godly mother of Lemuel. We have a broad group of women, the harem, if you would, those that the king or the would, you know, before he's king, the prince would chase after, and the excellent wife. And the excellent wife is also described as an excellent mother. And before she's an excellent wife and an excellent mother, she's an excellent woman. Right? This isn't something that she just pops into reality. It's something that she has grown into. So much so. So excellent is she that her husband is known by. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. I like the way one pastor puts it, that he's known as Mrs. So-and-so's husband, because she is an excellent woman. So Lola, be that excellent woman. Well, pastor, this is about a wife. Again, before she was a wife, before she was a mother, she was growing into being an excellent woman. So what kind of wife do you strive to be, those of you who are wives? You know, because you shouldn't quit, right? You shouldn't say, I got the ring on, I've been married for 20, 30, 40 years, you know, it's old hat. It's not like we should stop and say, there's no improvement to be made, there's no growth to be had, whether I'm a wife or a husband. But what kind of wife do you strive to be? What woman do you seek for your wife, for those of you who are single guys? What characteristics make a godly and noble woman? Well, what I'm going to do is just take through here real quickly and look at her excellence. What is the excellence of this woman? Well, the excellence is her virtues, right? Let's just note six of them pretty quickly in the text. So look at verse 11 and 12. verse 11 and 12, and why don't you go ahead and read that with me. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Right? She is trustworthy. You know, how encouraging and how beautiful of a thing it is in marriage when each one can look at the other and trust. Which means you can rely on that person. Again, Lola. I don't know, why am I picking on you so much? But I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it. Yeah, you're not a wife. But trustworthiness starts now. It doesn't start when you get married. Trustworthiness is a mark of excellence and virtue. How about the next one? Well, just follow along. Look at verse 13 with me. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. And of course, you know, you just go through. What do you see? That part of her virtue is also that she is industrious. She is a hard worker. And then going on again, we have verse 20. Let's read verse 20 again. She extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. That she is a woman of compassion. You see, as we're going through here, we're seeing the beauty of this woman. And note, unless I missed it, because I hate it when I miss things, but I don't think I missed it. There's no description of her beauty. There's no description of how gorgeous she might be. Because we all know, and we've all met people, whether man or woman, who are very handsome or very gorgeous on the outside, and it's like, very ugly on the inside. Don't be that person. You're not that person. Don't be that person. Don't ever grow into that, being that person, but grow in that inner beauty. And part of that is compassionate, that you care for other people. And you do so wisely as well. You do so under truth, but you have that kindness and compassion. How about verse 25? Let's read it. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. Strength and dignity. Now, how can she smile at the future? Because she does have strength and dignity. We can get wrapped up, me too, by the way. We can get wrapped up in so many fears. Can I make it? Can I accomplish what I want to accomplish? Can I be what I want to be? We get wrapped up in so many fears. We look at the news. What about the future? What about the economy? What about all these wars? Yada, yada, yada. But there's a strength and dignity that looks at the future and smiles. And that is not disassociated with the strength and dignity that comes through faith in God. Because he's the one that ultimately that gives us that kind of confidence for the future. Anyways, she has strength and dignity. In verse 26, it says it very clearly that she opens her mouth in wisdom. I mean, have any of you all ever opened your mouth and something other than wisdom came out? Yeah, I mean, I've done that. I know! It's surprising. No, not you, Pastor! Yes, me too. But where does God direct us? God directs us to let that which was in the heart through His Word, through His Spirit, come out through the lips. Words of wisdom. Sometimes it's just, we're just stupid. Right? Just stupid. And we got to choose what we say. Am I going to let stupidity come out of my mouth, or am I going to let wisdom come out? And let's read verse 30 together. I love verse 30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. She shall be praised, yeah. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. Again, we've all seen those people, a handsome young man or a beautiful woman, and it's not beauty on the inside. Empty suit, so to speak. An empty suit. Gorgeous. But it's not filled with what it needs to be filled with. A woman who fears the Lord, who trusts in God. So, Lola, consider, seriously now, consider these virtues. Don't let them pass from your memory. But be prayerful about them. Even tonight, get on your knees, pray to your Lord. Consider the kind of woman you're growing to be. And hopefully, you're always growing in one way or another. Trustworthy, industrious, compassionate, strength and dignity, wisdom, and one who fears the Lord. What happens if you take these virtues seriously? Well, someone might feel inadequate. Has anybody in here ever had a sense of inadequacy? Right? Oh, maybe it's about your motherhood. I wish I would have been a better mother. Wish I would have done this or that. But all of us, at one time or another, have felt inadequate to our position or to our task. Maybe someone will look at that and feel defeated or throw up their hands and say it's impossible, or better, a better response is earnestly desiring them. Lola, what is God's desire for you? What is God's will for your life? Well, it includes these excellent virtues. But say no to inadequacy, right? Say no to those, especially if they dog you. Because these virtues are not a pass-fail, right? These are virtues in which you, again, grow into them. And you know, Scripture gives us the ideal for humanity. Right? The law of God is never less, right? It's the ideal. That moral law is the ideal. And then we know, also, with that ideal is the reality of what we know about ourselves. And the greater reality of those things we don't even yet know about ourselves. So we know there's always going to be, to some degree, some disconnect between the ideal and the reality. And yet Christ is that ideal who has fulfilled the reality. He is the reality that fulfills the ideal, rather. Yeah, but he's the trustworthy one, right? God promised of old to send you a redeemer. And that is what Jesus did in time. He fulfilled the promise for you. He became your redeemer. Jesus is the one who was industrious. He labored tirelessly. He was exhausted. On one hand, he was loved. And on the other hand, he was greatly hated. But he continued on nonetheless for the work of your salvation. You didn't save yourself. You can't save yourself. You're not such a good person as if you could earn heaven. Jesus was the one who was compassionate because he was loving and caring for sinners, for the outcast, for the poor and the needy. He was the one that had strength and dignity. You know, here, Matthew chapter 27. This is, you know, this last week of the life of Jesus, this is a period of trials. And it says, while he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear now or hear how many things they testify against you? And he didn't answer them with regard to even a single charge. So the governor was quite amazed. Why didn't Jesus answer? Why was he, like Isaiah says, silent like a lamb going to the slaughter? Well, one, he didn't come to defend himself. right? In the sense that he didn't come to try to get out of his work as Redeemer. If Jesus got out of his work, all of us would be damned. I need you to understand that, because that's sort of the bottom line to the spiritual life. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. You couldn't and can't save yourself. Some of you may not understand that yet. Jesus couldn't get out of it because he had you in sight. But there's another thing there too. Jesus not responding to his enemies there in the trial, I think that's all part of his dignity as well. That he's not going to descend in begging or in self-defense because he knows it doesn't matter. They are just out to get him. They hate him. And he will not lower himself before them. Jesus is wisdom. He has the message from heaven, and he is the message from heaven. Oh, Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. He was with God, and he was God. Word, logos, God himself, and also reason, the rational principle upon which the world was founded is Jesus. Fear by Jesus. Fear the Lord. That's Jesus. Always respecting his heavenly Father in word and deed. So think of this. Think of these virtues in a Trinitarian fashion. That Jesus lived these out for you, Lola. Keeping the law where Lola has failed. And everybody else, by the way. Giving you his righteousness by faith. The Holy Spirit then works these virtues in you because the Holy Spirit is operative in Lola. Lola is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in her as he's working in you. And the Father wills these virtues for you that you might be adorned with beauty. And when reality doesn't meet the ideal, your Almighty Father is not going to turn into your Almighty enemy. That he who loves you now will always love you as much as he does. That he loved you in eternity past, before you did anything right or before you did anything wrong, and he loves you in the present when you do right and wrong. Right? So under his love, excel, grow, strive, grow in being a woman of excellence, full of faith and full of virtue. Amen. Let us pray to the Lord. How awesome are your works, O Lord, especially the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Show the light of your honor and great power to those in error's darkness, that by the Holy Spirit's work, they would submit themselves to Christ's greatest redemption. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, you give us a mirror of your love in the vocation of mothers who nurture, guide, and raise their children in all things good. Bless them in their calling, sustain them through weary and difficult times. Remember in compassion all who are barren and bring them comfort through the children of your church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, bless Lola in the coming years, that she might continue to grow in knowledge and wisdom. Shape her in your word and in the testing of her faith, that she would be a woman of excellence, filled with all virtue, and a woman of faith, resting in her Heavenly Father's love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we pray for Leo, the new bishop of Rome, that he would lead his denomination into fidelity and commitment to the moral teachings of the Bible, Jesus, the apostles and prophets. Grant him the faith to grab hold and receive the unmerited gift of justification in Jesus. Be with Clint, the leader of the Southern Baptist Church, Matthew, the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and all leaders in the Christian Church, that they may be faithful to the gospel message. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, we pray that you would bring peace to our world. We look around and we see war in Israel and Gaza. We see war possibilities in Iran, in Russia, in Ukraine, in Pakistan, India. Lord, we pray that the wicked would be subjugated, the righteous, the innocent, would be protected and risen up. We pray, Lord, for peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, on the day when this little while ends, we will need to ask for nothing. But now, in every need, we are bold to ask everything in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our mediator. Hear our supplications and our intercessions, all that we've made. And now especially for Rick, Jace, Mark, George, Dick Ferkey, Bill, Kathy Davis, and others that we mention in our own hearts. Lord, we pray for their strength, for their healing. And we pray this in your Son's name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
This time we have the presentation of the offering. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we may not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, We long to magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying. By his death, he has redeemed us from the bondage of sin and death. By his resurrection, he has delivered us into new life in him. Grant us to keep the feast in sincerity and truth, faithfully eating his body given into death and drinking his life's blood poured out for our salvation, until we pass through death to the promised land of eternal life. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Thank you.
that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace.
Amen.
Shirts for the few that have shirts left to come. And you all have a wonderful